see if you were okay. Are you ready?
Okay, good. Good morning. This is the Subcommittee on General Government. It's Tuesday, March the 29th. We are here for the purpose of a public hearing and possible work session on the Construction Contractors Board. So I am going to open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 5012, which is the budget bill, and House Bill 5013, which is the fee bill. We have with us Mr. Smith from the Contractors Board and Mr. Upadhyaya from Budget Management. And our fiscal officer, do you have any words of guidance for us as we begin this morning?
Oh, well, Madam Chair and members, I did put a very small package of materials in front of you this morning. One item, the first one in the packet is the response of the Construction Contractors Board to a question that was posed to them in earlier meeting on what are the elements of activities that, are within the administrative services section. And then I've also provided you with a short memo on performance measures with the draft performance measures worksheet, which is an item on which you will take action eventually. And then also an LFO memo dated February 6, 2003 from Fiscal Officer Ken Rocco to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means to provide clarification and information about the process of fee ratification, which you would be entering into on House Bill 5013.
Given that the committee has just now had this handed to them, could you give us any guidance on the fee ratification memo, just by way of refreshing our memory?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. back in 1995, the legislature distinguished between those agencies that have the administrative authority to set fees in rule versus those that have statutory provisions that either set the limit by capping or set the specific level of fees for given purposes. The Construction Contractors Board does have the authority to set fee by rule. That is then puts on them an obligation to seek the ratification following the adoption of administrative rules setting a fee. And the subsequent legislature, post the administrative action, then has the fee bill in front of them. If the that legislative assembly does not ratify the bill, the fee, then because it's an administrative rule, it rolls back to the fee, and in this case, the fee structure that was in effect prior to their adoption of the administrative rule for the $295 two-year license fee. So it, in effect, if you do not pass a fee ratification bill, then they have to roll back to what the pre-existing conditions were. And in this particular case, again, it's not just the fee level, but they modified the fee structure by creating a flat fee and the administrative processes around letting people know what their fee is and so forth have been modified to accommodate the flat fee structure. And if this were not ratified, they would have to unwind that as well.
Okay. So unless there is objection from the committee, the way that I propose that we do this is to first finish up on our discussion about the budget bill, because I think that there were questions with respect to the budget that would then instruct and drive the decision about the fee bill. And I think that Representative Avakian had summed up the question that really moves before the committee, and that is expenditures down, fee up, performance measures stayed relatively flat. I mean, they were able to perform against those. And the question with high reserves and caseload, why it is that there is a need for the fee bill. And I think the things that we really wanted to tease out today, in addition to linking to performance, reviewing the performance measures, is also to link the fundamental questions of you have a request for an additional position and you have workload issues, and we want to see how those relate to your performance measures. And I think I asked the committee to come prepared to discuss the performance measures. Mr. Smith, I would invite you, if you have any comments to start us off today, that then we would ask the committee to turn to the performance measures in either the binder or whatever form you've brought them, and we would be prepared to discuss those and offer the committee's comments to the co-chairs for the purpose of the work they're doing on the co-chair's budget. So, Mr. Smith, if you have any comments you'd like to make to begin with.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board Administrator. In our package that we presented earlier, we do have a copy of the performance measures. For the most part, the performance measures are on track. Our most pressing need, it relates to the outreach that we have with consumers. We are not meeting our goals in that area. In most areas, we are making progress. I think we talked about these performance measures on day one, and so I would just stand ready to answer questions.
Representative Smith.
Chair Jones, you may have mentioned it, and I just missed it, but can you share with the committee what are your plans to reach out to consumers?
Okay. I'm going to invite, with the chair's permission, our manager of consumer and contractor education, Sally Reidenauer. And I do have a handout that I can give to the committee on that.
While we're getting settled, Representative Smith, I'm delighted that you asked that question because I had the same question, and it speaks right to the issue of why there should be an additional investment. What are our expectations for how the consumer contact piece is going to be beefed up? I looked at the material that you had presented yesterday with respect to what initiatives were underway, and just personally need some additional information, particularly with respect to seniors, who I think are a group targeted frequently by unscrupulous folks. And I wasn't sure that pharmacy drop-in bags was as efficacious a method of outreach to that segment as existed. I didn't see any place in the material, any initiatives undertaken with some of the big senior advocacy groups like AARP or AAA or any of those that not only have huge publications with vast readership, and instead I saw the pharmacy bags, and I think some of us are just looking for something a little more substantive with respect to adding additional resources to consumer outreach.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sally Reidenauer, R-I-D-E-N-O-U-R, and I'm the Education Manager for the Construction Contractors Board. I came to this position about a little over a year ago, and the pharmacy program was one that was underway before I arrived, and what that program was is that we have very limited resources and almost no staff to do consumer education. We have one person that does consumer education, and that person concentrates their efforts on home shows and events. And when they're out in the communities doing home shows and events, they go stop at the local building official's office. They stop in calls to the senior centers, to other places where seniors and other of our target audiences might gather and get information, and they make contacts. And one of the contacts that we've made was with pharmacies, and at the suggestion of some independent pharmacies, the pharmacists liked the idea of handing out these flyers to their customers or senior customers. That's just one tiny project that we've worked on. We haven't had, to be honest with you, to be fully honest with you, we have not had the resources or the staffing to really execute a good consumer communications outreach effort.
May I stop you? Yet it seems to be a priority for the agency, and I would just ask Mr. Smith, why, if this is a priority of the agency and your ability to respond. Why haven't you managed internally to be able to respond better?
Senator Johnson, that's a fair question. I think that throughout the course of the agency's development over the last 30 years, there hasn't been an emphasis on consumer education. It's received kind of a back seat. Licensing, of course, was important. Resolving disputes throughout the 80s and 90s, a greater emphasis was put on enforcement. But, you know, I've been with this agency now for quite a long time, almost a quarter of a century. And I think what I've learned is that we continue to solve problems after they occur. And the consumers, for the most part, just simply don't have the information necessary to make good buying decisions. And it's taken some time to warm industry up, frankly, to trust us. To be very frank with you, they sometimes don't trust government. Trust us with using some of those resources to educate consumers. We believe we've gained that trust at this point, and that's one of the reasons why you see before you this process.
Representative Smith.
Thank you. I'm going to just offer a very elementary solution. How come you couldn't just go out and contract with five citizens in five regions, one person in each region, for $1,000 a month and say your job is to attend every chamber, every senior lunch, every home show in the region, every this, that, and everything, and you're on a $1,000 a month contract? Your goal is to hit 10,000 homes over the course of a year. And they report to you every month and say, this is how many people I handed flyers to. What's wrong with that?
Chair Johnson and Representative Smith, that certainly is a concept that has merit.
For $60,000, we could reach an awful lot of Oregonians. And
I can tell you that one of the problems is that this is a fairly complicated regulatory scheme. Contracting law, the things that we need to train consumers to do, the questions that gets asked of our representatives are sometimes fairly complicated.
But, I want to interrupt real quick.
Unless
I'm off, I don't think this committee expects us to be out there doing consumer law. But rather, you know, these are the things to be watching out for. If you have a problem, here's who you can call. Just kind of as a, did you know this, here are the facts kind of thing. I don't see that as a real technical activity. I see five senior citizens out there who could be trained and could contract with you and could do a heck of a lot of good outreach. And they're probably a better carrier of the message than you folks are. I mean, it's peer carrying the message to peer. Yeah, just one solution.
And Chair Johnson, the Representative Smith, it certainly is one, and it has merit, and it would be one way to go that would yield some good results. Appreciate it.
Senator Morissette.
Yeah. This is the question of who your boss is and the importance of the board in the decisions that you make and who you go back to. Now, I know that you're responsible ultimately to the governor and the administrative department, DAS, and so on. Talk a little bit about the direction that you get from the board and why that's important to follow.
Chair Johnson, Senator Morissette, this structure with the Construction Contractors Board is set up as a policy board. I think there was a question yesterday posed by Representative Vapian whether this was an advisory or a policy board. It is a policy board. That means that they hire and fire me. So I'm very responsive to what their demands and interests are. We meet with this board 10 times a year. We have a meeting scheduled in a few hours, 11 o'clock this morning. I'll again report to them the activities of the board. And one of the things that they experience, for the most part, they're contractors. Six of them are contractors, and three are designed to be late.
Excuse me. Just, I guess this is in response to Representative Smith's suggestion and then the kind of feedback that you would need to get to implement this kind of a program, which I think has merit. But that's why I raised the question at this time. So go ahead, if you would, please.
The point I was making was that this is a citizen board. I could bring this concept to them. I'd be happy to share it with them, and we'll talk about it later on today.
But continue on with the governance model that you work under is what I'm interested in.
The board's experience comes from their life experience as contractors or as citizens buying construction services. During meetings, one of the things that they do is serve as an appeal committee, and throughout the years, they look at files in where they have disputes with contractors, and they see it. They see where the problems have been. And for the most part, they're communication problems, situations where the contractor hasn't made clear what its intentions are, and the consumer has relied, I think mistakenly, on the notion that the contractor knows in their brain what the contractor or what the consumer is thinking. They don't take the time to reduce the contract to writing. Disputes occur, and sometimes that ends up in all kinds of a mess. So what I can tell you is that these folks, sometimes it takes a year or so serving on a board before they really understand the nature of the problem. But we've been able to communicate to them that one of the best uses of the funds right now would be to try to educate consumers, because, you know, nobody else is really doing it. We don't learn that in school, how to be a good consumer. What you learn a lot of times is look for the cheapest price. And sometimes that's not the best economy. That's a false economy sometimes. I hope that's responsive to your question.
Your student could be, or this person could be, a guest at the schools in a home ec class. Simple.
Madam Chair.
Representative Vlaki.
I would guess along the lines of all the discussion, though, that the reason you're at home shows is because you're trying to target a specific population that is really going to be a consumer of contracting services as opposed to the population in general. Is that right?
Senator Johnson and Representative Vlaki, we call it target-rich environment. Those are the people that are interested in buying the services contractors have, and they're the ones that need to have the education. And Sally was sharing with me not too long ago that it's very common when we're there with our booth, which isn't necessarily as attractive as some of the other ones. People walk by and they're very happy to see us. They don't know about what the state does. They don't know that we have some information for them, and it's a place where we can deal with them one-on-one.
Do you have materials at point of sale, like in a Home Depot or a lumber yard, or where they sell home improvement type?
Chair Johnson and Senator Morris, we have in the past have cards at home improvement, for example, Lumbermen's and Par Lumber and so forth. They haven't been particularly well used, so we haven't followed up on that. But we've done a variety of things such as that to try to reach consumers of contractor goods.
A follow-up on that would be any attempt to engage those stakeholders with the idea that an informed consumer base benefits everybody. And to have them come in and share with you their ideas about how to better outreach to Oregonians that are consumers of these kinds of services and products?
Senator Johnson, it's a good question. I think on the front half, yes, we do talk with our stakeholders to ask them, you know, what might we do better. It's kind of a conversation that we've had throughout the years. That's why I suggest to you that they're now ready to use some of what they see as their money towards us sending out that message. I can't tell you that we've got a lot back from them in terms of suggestions as to how to reach consumers, but we engage in the conversation.
Thank you. Okay. I think, did you finish your presentation or finish any other comments? I think we're still looking for a forward-looking initiative, and we probably interrupted you before you had a chance to get that out. You're asking us to make an investment in your program area, and we're asking basically what are we buying? And I think we're looking for some guidance from you to make sure that we're making an appropriate investment in your initiatives.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Contractors Board has been able to maintain efficiencies in most of our program areas with our current staffing levels and current resources. As we've just talked about, the consumer education efforts have not been as high on the priority list in the past and have been kind of the stepchild of the staffing and resources in the agency. But my predecessors have done a really fantastic job doing consumer outreach with limited resources and limited staff, and the stakeholders have really, from the board, have really come to believe in the CCB's ability to educate the public about working with contractors and are a little more reticent about supporting consumer education efforts. What we're asking for is some dollars to do some mass media advertising to get the word out through various media outlets, so some dollars for that. And we're asking for some staff, a reclassification for our staff member who it does most of our consumer outreach efforts and publications. This person is at a fairly low salary level, and the position has had quite a bit of turnover as a result. Moving that position upward in salary level and responsibility would allow us to achieve some of our goals that we've outlined in our business and strategic plan.
Would you mind going over those goals? Because
sure.
What you still are telling us is give us more money and we'll do good. We want to know what the good is you're going
to
do.
Can I add to that just to make this?
Senator Morissette's ahead of you, then you're up.
Okay.
I guess I would like to look at the flip side, and I'm sure we're going to do that later on, because what happens if we don't get the word out and people do fall into that trap? What then do you have to do to clean up the mess, and how is what this part of it going to prevent something that's even worse? That's what I'm interested in knowing.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
And as you share your comments, I need to know the definition of consumer education. Tell me what that means.
Sure.
May I add one along the same lines?
Representative Ivakian.
My concern would almost be, and loop this into your plans as you describe them to us, as you do mass media and you upgrade, reclassify this one person, if you're effective in your marketing, you're going to end up with more complaints and then hopefully more contractors actually licensing themselves, which could overburden your staff in both the complaint and the licensing area. So how are you going to accommodate that?
That's a good point.
How would you like us to respond to these in what order?
I thought they were kind of related, which is the reason I jumped in. But
why don't you take them in the order they came?
All right. Let me comment on Representative Ivakian's, with your permission, Madam Chair.
But the other way, then.
Okay. Because it's one I think I can address, and then Sally can talk more about the definition of consumer education. You know, I really view the idea of this regulation of contractors as it's a compact. It's an agreement between the government and the contractors and the people. And the purpose of it, I think, is to facilitate commerce, not to dampen it, but to facilitate it. And what the good contractors understand is that if you have good regulation that's properly managed, efficiently run, it's good for business, it's good for consumers, it's good for everyone. And we believe that the part that's missing here is that consumers don't really know what their part of this deal is. They don't understand that they have a role to play, and that is to shop wisely, contract wisely. And if they do that, we hope that, yes, we'll have more people that will want contractor services. So I think contractors
licensing might rise.
Fewer points.
But I hope that complaints will go down because they'll contract smart and they'll deal smartly with contractors. Definition of consumer education.
Certainly, Representative Smith, Senator Johnson. The purpose of consumer education is to inform Oregonians, and mostly Oregon homeowners, because those are people utilizing contractor services, about the CCB, about the services the CCB offers, our dispute resolution, our enforcement, consumer awareness brochures and information, and to inform them how to make wise buying decisions. What we hear over and over at speeches and home shows from consumers is, my gosh, I didn't even know you existed. I didn't know that there were these services available. I didn't know that I could find out what should be in a contract. I didn't know I should have a written contract. Gosh, I'm so glad we talked. I'm so glad you are out here doing this. I wish you would publicize more. And then what we hear from contractors over and over again is, gosh, why aren't you out there more? Why don't we hear more about the CCB? Because people should know that they should hire licensed contractors, that a license has value, that there's value to using somebody who is following the laws and who has bond and insurance. That's kind of the definition of consumer education, and that's what we're aiming to do. And then, Senator Morissette, I'm sorry, I forgot part of your question.
What happens if you don't successfully get the word out to people and they get caught in this trap that we're trying to avoid? Then what do you have to do to clean up the mess?
What happens, Senator Morissette, Senator Johnson, at that point is if a consumer knows about the CCB, something about it from a friend or something, and knows that they can file a claim, they can maybe go through the claim process, but maybe they've waited too long. They didn't know there was time limits for filing a claim. Or they get in the claim process and realize, oh, I should have had a written contract. Oh, I shouldn't have had an oral agreement. And they realize that they could have come out better.
Madam Chair, I think you're describing the Marco situation that we talked about briefly. That's a total mess that this guy has gotten himself into by not doing the right thing up front, and it's cost him practically everything.
Could that have been avoided, you think?
I think it, yes, absolutely it could have been avoided. Yeah. And I don't know why he didn't know. He's a very bright contractor of services himself. He works out of his home. But he's been working on this for over 2 years, and I don't know if there is a solution to it even yet.
Representative Krupp and then Senator Morse.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a good handout in terms of message and very good advice. Why is it that you're not able to communicate this through email? So in other words, why isn't there a standard policy that CCB sends an email automatically every time a permit is generated for work that would be under your purview? Or do you do that already? How could that be accomplished? I would think in this day and age, and I suppose it depends on how information is collected at the county permit level, but in this day and age, I would think it would be extraordinarily rare for a permittee to not have an email address. And that may be one excellent way for you to get this message to individuals in a very reasonable and cost-efficient manner. Just a suggestion.
Representative Krupp, Senator Johnson, that is a fantastic idea. And we do have CCB publications and forms at permit offices across the state. But the email idea is a fantastic idea. And there's a lot of fantastic outreach ideas. The only problem is the time and resources to get it done, the time to make the calls, make the arrangements and stuff. We just don't have the staffing levels to get these great ideas out there and get them followed up on. We have done the best we can with the resources we have, and if we don't get additional resources, we'll just continue to do the very best we can with the resources that we have. But there are only so many hours in a day.
Senator Morse.
have we talked about the issue that was just recently raised in Washington County with respect to fraud, people coming around to, particularly in the elderly, and you know, they'll fix their driveway or they'll do something to improve their house, and they're just absolutely fraud. And there are some huge numbers that were in the range of $2 million to $10 million in fraud just in that local area. Have we discussed that in this committee in terms of what response possibly you all might make to that problem?
Chair Johnson and Senator Morris, that is perhaps the reason why you have a contractor's board, is for the fraud as much as anything else. And it was back in the mid-90s that the Assembly created some resources for us to work with the state police and later with the Department of Justice. And then most recently here in 2000-plus, a special part of the Construction Contractors Board that works with local district attorneys to put these kind of people in prison. And it's been fairly successful partnership. We use contracted services, one staff member. We call it a special investigations unit. Their job is to find people that aren't really contractors, they're thieves. They look like contractors. They proffer themselves as contractors, but they're just thieves using the construction industry as their method to try to separate, in many cases, the elderly from their money. And one of the things that Sally and her folks do is try to reach that target audience, those persons that are, in many cases, single, elderly, and are targets of these folks. Would you add anything?
Yes, Senator Morris, Senator Johnson. We have actually done some targeted outreach in Washington County, doing presentations for the law enforcement officers there, also doing presentations for the Chamber of Commerce, doing some targeted media releases in Washington County to raise awareness about these scams that were happening and continue to happen around the state. But we did some special targeted stuff in Washington County not too long ago.
Senator Morissette.
Yeah, thank you. In looking at your performance measure goal of going from 777,694 contacts per year to 1.2 million, that's your goal in outreach, right? Okay. Do you discuss your performance measure goals on an ongoing basis with your board so they are aware of what you're trying to do on a even month-to-month basis and what your progress is and what suggestions you have and what suggestions they have and so on? Because to me, you know, that would be an extremely important way of knowing whether or not you're on target and reaching the goal. And I think they have to understand that we look at performance measures very carefully, and it's up to that board, basically, to make sure that you guys are on track. So I guess that would be my suggestion, my question. How often do you look at performance measures?
And Chair Johnson and Senator Morissette, the performance measures are, for the most part, part of the larger measures that we take a look at on a quarterly basis. We do share them with the board. They're in the board packet today. They'll be reviewed again this later on this morning by the board. We talk to them on an ongoing basis. I guess the best answer to your question is we do that routinely. Part of your question is does the board fully understand the importance of these performance measures? I think the fair answer is I don't think they do. And it's my job to make sure that they do. And so I continue to educate them regarding that issue and make sure that they understand that this is the way that the Assembly is going to be determining budgets.
May I
follow up, Senator Morissette?
Well, and I think it would be interesting to have the discussion of the best way to reach people. Now, we're trying to micromanage in a sense, but I think some of the suggestions are excellent suggestions, including the email response to people who get a license and so on. But I think it's up to the board also to brainstorm and come up with new and unique ways. Unfortunately, the seniors that we're trying to get the word out to are not the ones, I don't think they're the ones who go to the senior centers and who do a lot of, you know, get out of the house and so on. They're probably, some of them are probably somewhat isolated, and they don't have people to turn to when they need help. And I don't know how you reach that population. I guess the email might help. Well, no, an email for a lot of seniors doesn't exist. So.
One other thing apropos this measure, these are pretty rough numbers. A million people is a third of the population. And of that third of the population, how many of those people are you talking to repeatedly? I mean, if you look at our whole population, you knock out the people that are under 18 and probably not using your service. You knock out any other ineligibles. And you still only have a 32% penetration of homeowners who are aware of their rights and responsibilities. That seems to me to be kind of a fundamental disconnect. You say you're talking to a third of Oregonians, a third of the population, and we still only got 32% penetration of people who understand what their rights are. Something isn't working.
Right. Senator Johnson, a word of explanation on performance measure one. That is the time that we reach out to a particular customer. It might be a customer that we've talked to a dozen times in a year. So this doesn't represent individual people. It's website hits, it's speech contacts, it's people we talk to at the home shows and the like. So
these are both your clients, your contractor base, as well as the public.
In this particular measure, that's correct, ma'am.
We're going to get into a deeper review of your performance measures, but it seems to me that those are two different universes. One of them are your own guys that ought to know what's going on. They're licensed. They've taken the test. They have some interaction with the agency. The other is the unsuspecting consumer world who needs to be informed about the value of dealing with licensed contractors and the benefits of working with people that your agency regulates.
Senator Johnson, I think you're absolutely correct, and measure number one is an amalgamation of dealing with both our customers that have to do with contractors. In some cases, it might be insurance agencies or other businesses that are wanting to gain information about contractors. It's not just consumers. It's measure number three that is really on target for consumers.
Madam.
Senator Morissette.
It seems to me that the contractors that you are in touch with that's another important vehicle to notify the citizenry in general. I mean, that's their job as well to say, hey, watch out for some of these contractors, people pretending to be contractors. They're protecting their own interests by doing that. So it seems to me that would be a good source of information.
I think you've touched on something very important,
yeah.
That if a contractor takes the responsibility to be in touch with your agency, to do continuing education, to have sat the exam successfully, to be licensed by you, that would certainly be a marketing tool that would set them aside from others and would be something that, were I in that position, I'd be proud to advertise and use as a way to solicit additional business, a cut above somebody who had not done all of those things. And it seems to me that licensed contractors are in part your best sales force in the field because they are touting the advantages of dealing with someone who has a higher level of professional responsibility and, frankly, I think professional accomplishment.
Senator Johnson, I couldn't agree with you more. And, of course, there are obligations, statutory obligations for contractors when they enter into a contract with a citizen to provide them with information that explains to them a little bit about the Construction Contractors Board and their rights and responsibilities. One of the problems, of course, is that in many cases it's one of those many documents that somebody gets along with a contract that doesn't get read.
Senator Morse.
Thank you. Back to this fraud issue, have you considered how you can network and leverage a very small sum of money into a large impact by groups that represent the, for example, AARP, to get them to think about how they can, in their various mailings, to inform their membership of the risks and kind of the do's and don'ts. I know in my community we have senior centers the city, you know, has services that we're providing, and the county and network, the not-for-profits and the municipals into just a kind of a broad-based communication effort. This fraud business just really, it's awful. How do we network, I guess? And have you thought about that?
Two points I'd like to make, and then give it to Sally. One is that we're very fortunate to have as our public member Cliff Harkin, and Cliff's wife is a leader in AARP, and so we have a contact there, and we work with Cliff to try to leverage that to the degree that we can. We haven't been entirely successful, but that's a wonderful contact for us. With regard to reaching out to senior groups and so forth, Sally works with our chief investigator for the Special Investigations Unit, which can be very persuasive when you take this fellow who deals with theft all the time, deals with contractors who do that, and talks to these groups. It can make an impression, and I'll ask Sally, with your permission, to comment on that.
Senator Morris, Senator Johnson, the CCB has in the past and continues to partner with senior organizations, senior centers, other senior groups on a variety of projects. We do articles for senior newsletters and newspapers around the state. We do presentations around the state for those groups. We've also tried a project where we put some just real brief little scam awareness tips on top of the meals and meals that were handed out, and we've tried doing that. So we've tried a variety of projects, and we will continue to do so. We'd like to explore a larger partnership with AARP. Again, it's just getting the time to get it all done.
Mr.
How does the reclassification of your one employee enable you to more effectively do that? Sorry, Madam Chair, I just kind of jumped in.
That's okay. I was
asking permission from him to speak. Yeah.
I was getting guidance here from LFO. Good morning. If you'd introduce yourself for the record, please.
Good morning. I'm Linda Teat, Manager of Administrative Services for the Construction Contractors Board. The reclassification of the position that has to do with consumer education to a higher classification will allow that person to take on higher level duties from the manager and be able to perform those higher level duties, and will allow the manager of that section more time in order to perform more of these consumer education tasks too. So the higher classification will just allow that employee to perform higher level tasks.
Go ahead, Senator Morissette.
Well, I think they just touched on something that answers one of my concerns, and that is the Meals on Wheels delivery. That hits, I think, covers the people who are shut-ins and who are most likely to be victims of fraud, and I think that's a really great idea. So, I'm sorry.
And my question still is, I'm struggling with what are we buying? Is all I hear is higher-level tasks. I want to know if this panel says, yes, we're going to do this, what do we get? You couldn't have come to the legislature and asked for this without a plan. And I'm looking to you as the manager to share that plan with us.
Senator Johnson, can I ask the same question over and over again? Because I understand that's an important issue to you, and this is our commitment to you. If you choose to fund this investment, it's our commitment that we're going to meet that target in number three. That's 50% market penetration. That's an aggressive aggressive performance measure. I don't think we'll hit it if we don't. And what Sally tells me is that if I give her these resources, if you do, that she will get, she didn't guarantee it, but she tells me that I can commit to the legislature that we'll reach that goal. If we won't, we'll do our best, but we don't believe we'll meet that goal.
Representative Avakian.
I think what might help us is a more specific answer, one, to the question that I just asked. I don't know what higher level task means. I don't know how that relates to freeing up somebody to be doing on the ground work contacting people. So the plan, I would hope, just give us some more specifics about how the implementation part of this.
Representative Avakian, Senator Johnson, the plan is that if this position, the assistant position, is reclassed, that would allow the person to take over some day in and day out activities of mine. One of the things that I am in charge of is all the publications and forms for the brochure for the agency and the web content. This person would take that over. That would free up about 10% of my time to write an RFP for a media buy or an advertising firm to do a mass media campaign. It would allow me time to actually go out and have meetings with AARP and to the building officials on Representative Kropp's good idea. It would allow me to have some time to go out and do make these partnerships and get these programs going. The additional money would fund the mass media campaign, and then the additional position that we're asking for. I'm also in charge of the contractor education program, managing the pre-licensure education and all the testing. I don't have any clerical assistance. I do all my own minutes for my meetings, do all my own mailings. I lick the stamps. I put it in the mail. I do all of that on my own. This would allow somebody to take those duties away from me and allow me to spend more time doing the things that I'm good at and the things that I've been trained on.
Or, Madam Chair.
Follow-up, Representative Avakian.
What specific methods of mass media are you planning on using? What's the scope of the audience you plan to address with that, and what's the timeline?
Representative Avakian, we've identified our target audience, a couple different target audiences. Our biggest target audience is Oregon homeowners, people who have a home and would be considering doing some sort of home improvement project. That will be our biggest target audience. Then our next target audience are people who are vulnerable to scams and fraud, such as seniors or people who are homebound or are just very trusting folks. Those would be our second biggest target audience. And there are specialty publications that we can target. There's special radio shows that we can air advertisements on that are targeted at homeowners, like Mr. Fix-It shows that are on AM radio on Saturday mornings. There's specialty publications that go out with home show time in newspapers around the state that are targeted towards homeowners who are considering improvements. There are channels on cable television, obviously Home and Garden Network, Fine Living, that are targeted at the same audience we're trying to reach. And if we bought advertising on those cable channels, that would be a great way to reach that audience. So,
and the timeline?
The timeline would be hopefully to have a full-fledged campaign within a year of receiving the money.
Mr. Chair, may I have one more? Thank you. And other than the reclassification of position and the media buys that you've described, any other purpose that the fee increase would go towards? So with respect to the delivery of your message, like you've discussed.
Senator Johnson and Representative Avakian, the fee ratification won't fund the spending authority addition that we're talking about. It's separate from that. But I think you can think of it as a separate unit in terms of spending. And it's a question of just, frankly, do you want to fund it or not?
I'm going to interrupt and ask the LFO staff to comment, because I think there may be some confusion here about what the fee bill pays for and what it doesn't. And so, Adrian, if you'd help us.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The fee bill ratification is a separate issue. However, the budget that's in front of you, the governor's recommended budget, assumes that fee level for purposes of a revenue stream.
Okay, thank you. Senator Morrison.
The best idea I've heard today is the Meals on Wheels, and I would like you to give me your contact statewide, who you plan to contact for the Meals on Wheels distribution list. I'm really interested in that. I want to follow through personally on that. I think that's the only way to reach shut-ins who may not have a lot of, well, may not be on the Internet, who may have limited access to the outside world, and who are very, very vulnerable to someone knocking on their door saying, hey, I can fix your roof really cheap. But that, I think, is a great idea, but if you could please give me the process you will go through.
Happy to do so.
Thank you.
We have roughly an hour left, and if it is acceptable to the committee, I would like to turn our attention to the performance measures. That will be one of the deliverables that we have to get back to the co-chairs. And to look at these performance measures, make comments, and then indicate whether or not we would like different performance measures or corrections made in any of these. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In looking at your performance measures, I think generally they're reasonable, but I would question number two as being really something that would measure your performance because of the issues that are beyond anything that you can control or manage. I think it's an interesting data, but to actually use that as something as a measurement tool, I think is probably not a real good one.
Thank you for articulating one of my concerns as well, given that I think the reasons stated for bankruptcy frequently stated for bankruptcy filings are so beyond your ability to control, major medical, things like that. I would agree that this is not an accurate reflection, particularly when you have this giant universe of grandfathered folks. I would much rather see some kind of a performance measure that indicated an inducement to have those grandfathered folks who have not taken your continuing education exam come into the fold.
Senator Johnson, if I could comment, we agree with you, of course. This measure does just measure tested contractors. One of the things that we provide to the board is the difference between the tested contractors and the non-tested, and this is a significant difference in terms of their bankruptcy rate. We don't know, we can't prove that it's the testing that is the reason, but throughout the last several years, there's been this significant difference. It's almost double the rate for non-tested contractors, non-educated contractors. We're more than happy to measure anything you want. We'll continue to measure this off budget or off performance measure because we think it's so vital and so important. It's absolutely essential that we diminish the amount of bankruptcies that contractors go through, not for the sake of the contractors, but for the sake of the consumers that they take down.
I'm going to again turn to Adrian and ask whether or not, if there are disagreements among the panel with performance measures, whether you want a recorded vote, whether we want to operate by consensus again. Senator Morris and I share the concern on number two. I don't know whether any of our colleagues do. I see Representative Krupp, Smith, Shabakian, no. How do you want to proceed? They're going to continue to collect the data. That's lovely. I think the question before the panel is, do we wish to consider this as an indicator in their stated and agreed upon and ratified performance measures? And I'm just not sure what protocol to proceed with.
Madam Chair, Senator Morrison.
But just a suggestion, Madam Chair. The data, I agree, is very important. Probably if you reworked the performance measure, and really the function that you're talking about is the ratio between tested contractors and non-tested contractors. That's really what you're, in the efficacy of testing versus non-testing, that's what you're measuring, not whether or not people file bankruptcy. That's totally beyond your control. But what you can control is the testing and its relationship to the bankruptcy function. Mm-hmm. So you might think about just reworking that in a different way, so that you're measuring what you're really saying that you want to measure.
That would certainly meet my concerns. You look skeptical, Representative.
Well, I'm amenable to it. I mean, it's a reasonable idea.
For the record, I'm not smart enough to know an alternative. So, I acknowledge it.
Are there any other...
I'm not sure, Representative, that you really want that on the record.
I'm very good with that.
I can put out my light. I found an honest man. what I am going to recommend, given again that we are in somewhat uncharted waters, and I'm making this up as we go along, I'm going to suggest that we just go through each one of the performance measures and at least have the panel by consensus acknowledge that it is an adequate measure of the work of the agency. And call your attention to page 20 where they're summarized. And I'm not going to read them to you because we can all read, but if we would all take a look at measure 1 and see whether or not this is an adequate reflection or whether we have... whether we want to accept this and pass it on to the co-chairs as our opinion that this adequately measures.
Madam Chair, I say yes. I'd like to keep this because it gives me a sense of the points of contact that the agency is having with individuals, which will play into our decision-making process about one of the policy packages that we've been discussing.
Any other comments from the committee? I'd like to nuance it slightly farther. I don't know exactly what I'm asking for in terms of work on the part of the agency, but the question of whether or not, given that we're now discussing beefing up the consumer contact piece, whether or not there is a way to separately track consumers versus your licensees or potential licensees. What we have here is just an aggregate of the universe of people who have touched you. And if there's some way for us to be able to measure and you to be able to measure that if we make the investment in additional consumer education, that it's paying some kind of dividend. Representative Smith.
And not trying to digress, but I really think you folks ought to be talking to Consumer and Business Services and making sure that there's a direct link from their webpage to yours. They seem, and also probably the Attorney General and the Secretary of State, and I know the Secretary of State's very open to this, simply because those are contact points when people have a complaint, and that way it would stream it to you, and you'd probably be able to up these numbers significantly just by having that link come over to you.
Senator Johnson, Representative Smith, it's absolutely accurate, and I want you to know that we do have those relationships with the Department of Business and Consumer Services and do have linkages between the Attorney General's website and ours.
Perfect.
We'll continue to expand that.
Thanks for letting me digress.
Good. I'm listening with an ear towards what we might want to give as far as committee direction. And I agree with Representative Smith completely, but I think we have just heard Mr. Smith say that these linkages exist, the web linkages exist, and that you're attesting to the fact that the relationships exist and you'll maintain and work on them.
That's correct.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Morsett.
Yeah, to what extent do they contact you? It seems to me that if anyone contacts them, they will send them to you. Is that correct?
Senator Johnson, Senator Morissette, that is correct. We routinely receive referrals from the Department of Justice and their consumer advocacy groups, and we work those complaints.
Okay. Senator Morris.
I don't want to beat this to death, but this is a very broad measurement. You develop an action plan and make that action plan more specific in terms of what you're actually going to measure within this broad category. In terms, for example, we talked a lot about the fraud issue, and that contact and outreach would be to set some very specific things within our action plan that you can measure, and that would be very helpful, I believe.
Adrian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I might just recap what kinds of recommendations you might make, and then if we could maybe make the summary of that as we move through each one. You can accept a measure and the target as is, approve elimination of a measure and direct the agency to just use the measure tracking internally for management purposes. You can change the target if you've got specific direction that you'd like to make. You can add a new measure resulting from the from your discussions, but you if you want to suggest adding a new one or changing an existing one, which might require the agency to look at its data collection efforts differently, you could also recommend that the agency work with LFO and Department of Administrative Services on suggested changes, and this is the standard recommendation for these kinds of changes, and then submit those to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee during the coming interim for their review so that they can be built into the 07-09 report.
Let me just, I'll come right back to you. Then Senator Morris has made a recommendation, and if there is no objection from the committee, the mechanism that you just suggested might be the mechanism where you would want to connect this performance measure with an action plan inside the agency, and then what you've suggested is that then this would go to the joint committee?
Correct.
Okay. Any objection to proceeding? Okay, then that's how we dealt with number one. Senator Moore said, if you have a comment.
Well, I would like to either create a new performance measure or add to one in relation to your contact with your board and their review of their contribution to, and, well, first of all, review buying off and contributing to your performance measures. I would like to see that either a separate measure that would have to be detailed or, because I think we need to engage your board, and that has to be a goal.
Senator Morissette, the reason that we're smiling is that you are playing Senator Morris's song about a bill that he and I are going to go testify on this afternoon that will ask that...
The board involvement.
That board involvement be included in all the performance measures. Okay. And, Senator Morris, I would invite your comment.
In case the bill doesn't pass, which I'm sure it will, I think you ought to be dealing with that. No, that's great. Thank you.
It's an amendment to a continuous improvement concept, and one that was hatched between the chair and myself here just a couple of days ago, last week.
But I think as a fallback, it might be a great idea that as part of the work of this committee, that we continue to recommend to the co-chairs that there be some performance measure in every budget we look at that speaks to the engagement of the advisory board or the commission attached to the agency.
This is giving this board a chance to get way ahead of the curve.
First out of the shoe.
Senator Johnson, we appreciate that.
You've been the guinea pig in a number of respects, Mr. Smith, and I appreciate your patience as we're working through this new process.
And his comment to me, Madam Chair, if I might, the other night was, it's never boring.
How diplomatic. All right, I'm going to return to number two. Let's suspend Senator Morissette's suggestion until we get to number 10. I see a new performance measure looming on the horizon. Number two, you've heard Senator Morris's input. Any comment from the committee? Okay, and just to summarize, what we're going to do is to go ahead and ask the agency to work directly with LFO in formulating language that adequately... more adequately reflects to the ratios between tested and bankruptcy, non-tested and bankruptcy, not try to wordsmith it here and then ask that that performance measure move forward to the Joint Committee. Is that correct? Number three. Any comments on number three? Okay. Other than we have heard from you your belief that you can hit a 50% penetration, that's linked very closely to the performance of the fee bill that we still have to get to. So for any of us that are fortunate enough to be on this panel again next year, we're going to be looking for 50%.
I understand that, ma'am.
Okay. Number four.
Madam Chair.
Representative Pratt.
And this is going to relate to the policy package and the fee bill, but if you go back to number one, performance measure number one, and this relates directly to the issue of consumer contact and them understanding what their rights and responsibilities are. If you look, it's clear that the agency, the majority of their opportunities to have contact and disseminate information is web-based, by far, telephone calls, number three, and the other items, such as packets mailed, is another opportunity for them to communicate. Home show contacts, speech contacts. When it comes to discussing that policy package, I'm not convinced that the money that they're asking for gets us to 50%. Because right now, they have the opportunity to influence people through all of these opportunities to contact. Most of them, they're either already doing, so you have to put your resources and your emphasis, I would think, where you are having your most opportunities for contact if you're trying to raise your level of performance. So that, number one, in my mind, relates to number three, and I'm not convinced that the fee bill ratification or the additional dollars in the policy package gets us there based on what I've heard this morning. It's all good and it's all, and I understand the issues of having to lick your own stamps, and believe me, I appreciate that.
Especially the mint-flavored ones.
Yeah, especially the mint-flavored ones. But I have to say that, again, looking back at the performance measure of the app, the measurement of their contact points with people, it's not licking stamps. Most of their contact points are on the web. And maybe there are things that can be done for relatively inexpensive dollars that, like the moment somebody comes on your website, an ad pops up right in front of their face that says, are you aware of your rights and responsibilities? Go to this point. Those types of things that you can do for relatively cheap dollars. So anyway, I'm just saying that to get that 50% level, I'm not sure that the direction they're headed is going to do it.
Representative Smith and Senator Morissette.
I guess just to beat this horse a little bit more, we're just going to give you all of our thoughts. I guess I'm of the opinion, I would take RFPs on this. I'd say, here's what we need, and I'd contract it out, and I'll bet you'll come up with some pretty creative folks out there who will share with you very inexpensive ways to spread your message. I know if I was a college kid and I saw a chance to pick up a $50,000 contract to reach out to 20 counties, I'd come up with some pretty creative ways on how to do that.
Conversely, if I were a retired contractor with a great pride of association with my industry and was looking for something to keep me off the golf course, this might be a perfect touchstone with some of your retirees who are interested in seeing their profession maintain a high degree of professionalism. Yeah. Senator Morse.
I understand Representative Krupp's concern, but if we don't approve the fee bill, we have to talk about what is going to happen then. I mean, it's not just this one narrow performance measure we're talking about losing. We're talking about going back to an old fee. We're talking about a lot of other things that will follow. And so we have to make our judgment based on the big picture and not a performance measure.
Senator Morse.
Specific recommendation that an action plan be developed with LFO, specific points of measurement with respect to goal number one, customer contact, so that it's not just a broad, kind of diffused kind of goal. It's very specific to an action plan. Then I think we get it where we want to go.
Consensus on that?
I would agree. I think that's a great suggestion.
All right, so just to recap, we're now going back to performance measure number one, directing the agency to work with LFO to tie an action plan to this outreach. specifically tied around the education, the consumer education piece. Okay? We have, and work with LFO to develop that, and then would that go to the joint committee as well? Okay. Number two, we're going to work with the LFO to nuance the correlation between the tested and untested on the bankruptcy, and that would go to the joint committee. Number three, we're going to come back and revisit Representative Krupp's concerns when we actually get to the fee bill, but in the interim, does this testing measure meet the standards of the committee?
Yes, in my opinion.
Number four. Are we going too fast?
It's the bouncing around that gets me.
We're going to try to stay numerical.
Like things are over.
I know. All right. Got your breath?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Number four.
Sort of like herding cats.
Believe me, I know. Any comments on number four?
Madam Chair, just for the record, I would point out that when you earlier went through these with the agency, they did indicate that they're looking at changing the methodology of this. I would offer up that if that transpires during the time that they're looking at the other items, that could be incorporated into a JLAC report.
Any objection? Okay.
I do want to point out one thing on four, though. During the interim, I've had several issues working with this board as it relates to constituents. And these folks are kind of in an awkward situation because on the one hand, they're trying to do everything they can to maintain consumer safety and maintain the industry. On the other hand, it's a state representative or a state senator away from a phone call calling up talking about what dirty dogs these guys are. And so I compliment the way they handle that balance. I know in the two situations I've dealt with, it's been very fair, and both of them have been issues about recidivism.
I would echo that. The agency was very responsive when I reached out on a constituent concern, and even though the constituent ended up with a significant out-of-pocket loss, felt as though she had been treated very fairly and learned a very valuable lesson about the benefit of dealing with licensed contractors, despite how fancy their signs are on the highway inviting in the unwary. But the agency was very responsive. Okay, so number four. Okay, with no objection, that one then stays. Number five. Any objection? Okay. Number six. Any objection? Number of days. Okay.
Can I go back on number five and just ask a quick question?
You have to have Mrs. Sexton's permission. Back to number five.
What happens to the 0.58? Those folks who aren't paying. Do we turn those over to somebody?
Chair Johnson and Representative Smith, very, very good question. These are the folks that end up losing their license. Many times they file bankruptcy, they leave the state. We don't allow them to operate in this state, nor do we allow their principals to start new construction companies until those debts are paid.
Do you have the Do you have the ability to file a lien on them?
Chair Johnson and Representative Smith, no, we don't have the ability. We don't have the ability to file a lien on them, but when we adjudicate these disputes, the consumer or whoever files a complaint ends up with what we call a final order. That final order can be filed as a judgment in any county.
Is that filed? Or recorded, excuse me.
It may be. These are actions that the claimant may take and often do.
Okay, I'm sorry, Dan. I just want to understand this.
Follow up, Representative.
On the final order, that's you folks issuing the final order and issuing a penalty. How come you're not able to record that when you folks issue the penalty?
Chair Johnson and Representative Smith, this is a final order ordering the contractor to pay. If the contractor doesn't pay, our remedies are to take the license away. And the way the law is currently structured, it gives the benefit to the claimant to take that product that the state has done, which is to liquefy that debt, determine that that debt is owed, and then the claimant can proceed with collection devices, which include judgments.
Okay, just one last... quick question. So just so I'm clear on this, so you really are, you're serving as the arbitrator, the judge, between someone with a dispute and someone who perhaps performed the work or what have you.
Senator Johnson, Representative Smith, that's exactly
Thank
correct.
You. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving ahead, number six, we're okay. Number seven.
Okay.
Okay. Number eight. Without objection, number eight's okay. Number nine.
Madam Chair, if I might leap in here.
Please.
There has been the development of a consistent, uniform, statewide performance measure around consumer satisfaction. And that is being substituted for similar performance measures that an agency may have. So when you see your worksheet for final adoption of subcommittee recommendations, that will reflect a new performance measure, number nine, that will exchange for this. The agency already does seek both consumer and contractor input in their satisfaction surveys. So they will talk about if there are any issues around the data collection issue for them, but it's my expectation that the substitution of the uniform consumer customer satisfaction survey information will do no harm. They already collected the data.
So, Senator Morse.
If it's that broad, then I object. If it's a consumer defined as contractors and purchasers of services, and you're actually measuring both, then I think that's good. But I would very much object to the removal of this measurement that is a direct reflection of how this agency interfaces with contractors.
Madam Chair and Senator Morse, I did pass out to you this morning what the new performance measure worksheet would look like. The agency certainly can continue to maintain their internal tracking of those items distinguished between consumers and contractors, and I've heard you indicate that you'd like them to do that in a number of areas, including the outreach and education services. So I would expect that the agency would continue to do that, notwithstanding the statewide measure, which probably is prompted so that there can be an evaluation statewide with a common measure of how is the state doing. So you could either leave their existing measure number nine as is, if you wanted them to continue to report in the performance measures reports, and then we would just add on the statewide measure as number 10. So you have options.
That would be my preference.
All right. Is that agreeable to the rest of the committee? Okay. All right. That now takes us to what would be measure 11, should the committee decide to agree with this, and this would be a performance measure that indicates the engagement of your advisory board. And while the language has not yet been thoughtfully developed, and I hope that it is developed either in this bill form or it is developed as a result of work with legislative fiscal across the agencies, that it would be the kind of measure that would, and I'll just go ahead and share these with the committee. This is the template that Senator Morris and I have been working on. Demonstrate that at least quarterly financial statements have been reviewed and approved. Demonstrate that the board has approved the agency's legislative package, including policy options. Demonstrate that the board has at least quarterly reviewed the agency's performance measures. Demonstrate that the board has done an annual performance review of its executive director. Demonstrate that the board has reviewed any audit performed and/or management letter and taken corrective action as recommended. and demonstrate that it has engaged with its director in determining improvement in agency processes, including activities that reduce costs, improve quality of the agency's service, shorten the time for accomplishing the agency's mission, or otherwise improve the way the agency carries out its mission. And lastly, require that a governance letter be submitted to the co-chairs of Ways and Means that certifies it has fulfilled all the above requirements. And what we're looking for in offering this performance measure is a measure that will go across agencies, be the same measure in all agencies, to indicate the active engagement of an advisory board.
You guys are tough.
We are.
I like it.
I think that's great because that's really the way it should be. The board has to be.
I do think it's interesting, Madam Chair, too, that it's legislative action that's prompting this as opposed to an executive order, since all of these boards answer directly or indirectly to the governor. I'm wondering if the governor's office may want to implement something within the executive branch.
Well, unless there is objection, we will continue to work with LFO to make sure that we have language that is reflective of what we've just shared with the committee.
And that's just a best practice.
That's a best practice. Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about.
But I have, this is my second go-around on Ways and Means, and I have yet to sense any kind of universal engagement. I mean, it's different. Different agencies, you never hear from the board or commission. In this case, we heard, but yet we still don't know. And to raise that level of expectation for the board to become engaged in this process of continuous improvement and be held accountable and come back and relate to us that, in fact, they are partners with their administrators in finding ways to improve. That's what we're trying to achieve.
I got to tell you, I mean, I'm very, very much on a micro scale. But everyone I work with on a contract basis, that's the minimum standard. I mean, they want to see the financials, at least on a quarterly basis. They want to be engaged in this. They want to be knowing that they're moving in the direction of the performance measures they've set.
Senator Morrison.
Yeah, how do we differentiate, maybe it's in the that's bill, tough. Between an advisory board and
it's
a policy
really
board? Because you have a policy board, is that correct? So your
correct.
Board is a policy board. How many boards are policy, are advisory as opposed to policy?
Senator Morrison.
I think we would expect the same out of both.
Would it be in our benefit to know that, though? I think that needs to be in the material that we receive. This is a policy board, so we know who we're talking. We're really, you know, if I had known that gentleman sitting back there was a policy, the head of a policy board, I might have asked him different questions than we did.
That's a good point, because we...
Senator Smith. I mean, Representative Smith.
if we recall, some of us, we had the real estate folks up yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they did zero review of financials, zero review of anything.
Yeah. And in fact, excellent. The executive director made it quite clear that he would report to them, and that was it. And I think what we're interested in doing is for these Oregonians who are willing to come forward and provide...
Do you really say that?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
For these Oregonians that are willing to come forward and help advise an agency, we want to make sure that there is a sense of gravitas about their service, that people pay attention to their observations with respect to guiding the agency, and that it be institutionalized in some formal way. And that's where we're headed. All right, so that would be number 10. Or number 11, I'm sorry. Okay, and without objection, then that's included. So at this point, we have done one of the three tasks that remain to be done. We have gone through in a work session and dealt with the performance measures and are passing our recommendations on. I don't know whether or not we have had adequate discussion about the additional position in the claims workload, whether or not that has come to a conclusion. I think Representative Krupp still has questions about it.
I do, Madam Chair, and I have... number of questions about what the co-chairs' feelings are and the chair's feelings in regards, or thoughts rather, not feelings, but thoughts, in regards to the bots and not bots, all the policy packages here, Representative Smith's a great idea, I think, in terms of if we're going to go down that route, do it through an RFP process. I'd like to know, I'd like to get an up-to-date, accurate estimate of fees that we can expect that they're going to receive in the 0507 based on the increased level of new contractor applications. I'd like to know what the old fee level would bring us in terms of revenue without the reauthorization of the higher rate that began in July of 04. Those are some questions that I need to have answered. I need to have, I believe in yesterday's testimony, we were told that they would have, in 05-07, they would have about $3.5 million in the reserve fund. And so I'd like to have that verified so we know exactly how much you're going to have. And then have professional staff give us, I guess, an estimation then of, based on the latest revenue projection for the agency, and subtract the amount of expenditure without any bots.
You know, I've been on Ways and Means three times, and I don't have a clue what a bot is.
Neither do I.
Policy, package, ads.
Neither do I.
Ads, subtractions. It's a term that they're bantering around here in Ways and Means that I've picked up on. I'm sorry.
Well, they haven't bantered it anywhere with a definition.
My apologies.
Just in the house, I guess.
Well, your two chairs have no clue about
it. So if we have an expanded revenue base based on the current fee that needs to be reauthorized, and we don't approve any policy packages, how much more does that then grow the reserve above $3.5 million? I'd like to have that question answered also.
I'm going to stop and just touch base with the professional staff. Representative Krupp has laid out quite a number of requests, and I want to make sure that you have had a chance to record them all. We really are at a juncture here. I'm very respectful of Representative Krupp's desire to have more information before he acts on the fee bill. We could go ahead because we are in work session and act on the fee bill. I think a sense of the committee on where we're headed. I am perfectly willing to defer to the collection of additional information to satisfy your concerns. And would be guided by any input from the committee about that. We will need to report back to the co-chairs and to the process, both the performance measures, which we have acted on today, and I'm asking LFO if we need to do anything additionally at this point or if we have accomplished that. We still have remaining the fee bill and the budget bill. If professional staff at this point has enough on the record to go ahead and prepare your recommendations while additional data is being sought from the agency, that's fine, or I would entertain any suggestions from the committee, being respectful of Representative Krupp's desire for more information. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. Yesterday on the record, I was a no vote on the fee increase as well, because I had the exact same concerns. Those concerns have been alleviated for me after I talked with the construction AGC, with the home builders, with the remodelers, and their comment to me, both in here and a couple of them outside of this room, was they felt very comfortable with the fee increase. They felt like it was an investment for them in their livelihood, and so while I shared the exact same concern, my take was they were willing to step up and make the investment, and so I wasn't going to get in the way of that. I might suggest, knowing that this still has to go to full Ways and Means, and knowing the direction of the co-chairs, that you move these forward, but allow for LFO, Contractors Board, and Representative Krupp to work through these issues, knowing that should there be any issue, we can always pull it back from full ways of means, but keep this process moving.
Senator Morse, and then Senator Morse.
Okay. Yesterday I raised a question about the balance between being frugal and being efficient, and I want to throw in the word prudent at the present time, because I think that a prudent person would have a reserve, and a prudent person would adjust the reserve so it's not, well, I guess a person would put it in a different account. You mentioned that you will adjust your reserve if necessary and when necessary. You will lower the fee so you don't have an excess amount. You also indicated to me that you would have some real problems accomplishing your performance measures and your duties if we don't approve this fee bill and you go back to a different schedule. I ask you that question, and you indicated that it would not be an easy thing to meet expectations. I guess I'm not into the micromanagement as much as some of the other members on the board, because I do feel there is accountability. We have given you, I guess, some fairly strict guidelines to follow, and I have every faith that you will make your best effort and make the adjustments as necessary. I think it's important that you have the resources to do what we are telling you you should do. And I'm not sure you'll have those resources if we don't approve the fee, and I have faith that you will adjust the contractor's fees if you get an excess. Dealing with your boss, your bosses, who are the construction board, they will keep you in line. So I feel very comfortable with moving ahead.
Senator Morse and Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To expand on Senator Morissette's, I have in my notes here that we had an expected revenue of $11.8 million for 03-05, which is greater than the legislatively approved by about $400,000. So to the extent that you know, you've got increased licenses, increased fees, and it diminishes the need for the fee increase, then, again, I would expect that to come from the board to reduce the fees. But when I look at the fees starting in 99 and coming through to the governor's proposed budget of 07, ending 07, the average increase is 2.25% per year, given the data that you've supplied, and if we adopt the fee bill. There's been some considerable volatility within that time period in terms of expenditures. But based on the stakeholders' support of what you're doing and thinking in terms of the longer time horizon with respect to the increase, I can support this fee bill.
Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only fly in the ointment in my analysis is one other thing that I would I'd like to have professional staff get for us, which will that the agency will need to provide, is the peak expenditure time. So in other words, what is the sine curve of when your revenues come in? Is there a particular time of year that some fee-driven agencies get a lot of fees at a certain portion of the time, and then they get lesser fees, and they have to have enough reserve so that they don't have to go out and borrow money and those types of things. And I'd like to be able to make that comparison. My concern is, and Madam Chair, again, I don't know what the direction is in terms of policy packages. If we decide for whatever reasons not to approve the policy packages and they have all this additional revenue and their reserve builds at the end of the 05-07 budget period to well over $4 million, that's 8-9 months worth of reserve. I think that's more than necessary. I would rather see the fee reduced or operated at a reduced level this particular session, allow them still the spending authority, the position authority to utilize some of the excess reserve to make sure that the contractors are being, as you said yesterday, Mr. Smith, in your testimony, that when they call, you answer the phone. I would rather see that reserve level readjusted than I would to see it again go higher than it should be. If I am the only voice on this committee that so desires that in this particular legislative session, so be it. But I still would ask the chair to professional staff to provide me with some additional information. And again, we haven't discussed policy packages, and that does impact, in my thinking, whether a fee increase is necessary or not based on reserve amounts and those types of things.
Well, I would be perfectly happy to not act on the fee bill today, but rather come back and finish the discussion of the budget. I am interested, however, in the last minutes of today's hearing, to have you comment, Mr. Smith, on the request for the additional position and the claims workloads issues. I'm not sure that you have addressed that in a sufficiently comprehensive way that the committee understands it.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. There are two issues I think that you'd like to address, the first being the dispute resolution staffing. And the fact of the matter is that the raw numbers show that we're receiving fewer complaints. And so the issue is whether or not human resources and other resources should be cut. And my argument with you is, to you, is that I don't believe they should be. I don't think they were properly staffed to begin with. And as a result, we ended up not doing as good a job as we could have throughout the 90s when we had a tremendous amount of claims. I believe that they're staffed just about right now, and we're able to think about some creative ways to resolve disputes quicker, get on site faster, and have a better form of dispute resolution. We put some investment into training. It took about a week's worth of time, but trained our off-site folks in the nuances of mediation. They were pretty good mediators to start with, but they're better today. And the newer types of mediation techniques are consensus building. They're a little bit less arm twisting, which frankly can get everybody in trouble. And they yield a better product, therefore. People, frankly, are more satisfied with the result. They get a resolution that they can live with. That's important. But they're also not angry at government. And frankly, that's one of the things that we hear when we used to do some of the kinds of mediation where we would explain, look, chances of you prevailing in hearing are pretty low. You ought to take this deal. We would lay that out, and folks would sign the agreement, and then they'd be angry. And even though that was fast and efficient, it wasn't very prudent. And so my suggestion to you is allow us these resources. Industry is not looking to cut there. They want those things there. I think consumers want them there. And I ask you to allow us to try to prove by these resources, keeping these resources the same, see if we can't improve that. I think it is a performance measure number 7 that deals with the satisfaction or the perception of the agency's fairness in dealing with dispute resolution. That's my suggestions on the claims dispute resolution staff.
Any questions? Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In many ways, you're a victim of your own success. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm pleased to see for the last couple of years your claims are actually dropping. They did spike, obviously, in 2002 considerably, especially from 2000. I mean, it's a considerable jump upwards, but they are reducing. And performance measure number 7, your average day to issue a final order is very close to your target. It's 139 in 04, and your target was 130. That's good. You've got good targets for the reductions of those in the coming years. And I think you're doing a marvelous job. And I'm not asking, not wanting to see those number of inspectors and people who deal with that be reduced in your agency in any way. That's not what I'm saying here, and that would not be my direction. I'm saying that I question the need for a continued higher level of revenue because you're doing a great job where you are. I'm impressed and I'm pleased. And it isn't that an interesting dichotomy that we find ourselves in here, is to, again, see an agency doing a great job, being a victim of their own success, and then to say, okay, maybe you don't need as much money now, or maybe go ahead and dip into your reserve if you feel that you need to, and give you that expenditure authority and that type of thing. Again, I'm not seeing a nexus in that having reduced funding and reduced staff. The reason they had $1 million more that they put in the bank in 03-05 was, as they gave us testimonies yesterday, they had some unfilled positions. And you know what? Even with unfilled positions, they still did a great job. You did really good getting your targets, and that's admirable. But it also tells me then that, from a management perspective, that they're able to do it with the people that they have. It means I don't think they need as much money. I think they're still meeting their targets. I don't want to reduce them from where they are. No, not in any way, shape, or form. But I just think they're doing a marvelous job with the resources they have, and they're to be commended. Absolutely.
Mr. Smith, let me ask you, I'll come right back to Senator Morissette, if you could at least reflect with the panel here about your internal options for using the position from dispute resolution for the education package.
Senator Johnson, members of the committee, it's a little bit apples and oranges. I think that we could probably get we could probably transfer some of the staffing in the dispute resolution section over to in education. We're talking about changing personnel, so we'll probably won't be able to train people in dispute resolution how to educate consumers. That's probably not going to work. Those people aren't great communicators in some cases. So they're different people, but the fact of the matter is, if required, that's exactly what we'll do.
Senator Morissette, excuse me for interrupting.
Representative Cupp, would you not agree that they need to increase the efficiency of their outreach, and that to add a person to do that is the prudent way to increase efficiency? So that would be an increase, or at least in staff and using some of their reserves. I mean,
No, Senator, I would not necessarily agree with your statement. I would agree with the portion of your statement that says, yes, I think that they can improve their efficiency in terms of outreach, yes. But I'm not sure the way to do that is adding another staffer. It could be the expenditure of more money along the lines of what Representative Smith is talking about. It could, or Senator, the chair, or it could be, again, looking at what internal changes they can make in terms of, again, going back to performance measure number one, by far the highest number of contacts they have with anyone is on the web. So are there things that can be done? And that's why it gets back to the action plan, which I think is a very good idea, where we could explore some of those options. But I am not convinced that the way to achieve the result that you and I both want is adding another person.
There are a number of suggestions made. For instance, I made be sure to contact the Wheels on Meals. That's a more time-consuming one, but I think that's a more effective one for the shut-ins rather than the Internet. So I guess we're looking at a variety of tasks that we're asking them to perform, and I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that they would need to cover all of those bases that we're setting for them, and if they think they need more staff, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, and we can look at the performance measure the next time and find out. So.
Representative Avakian.
Just an additional comment to the discussion that was just had between the senator and the representative. We have laid out some action plans and things that we want to see back from you, but from my perspective, we have some agencies come before us where we feel the need to clamp down, hold accountable, bring people back. We have others that come in that show us a history of responsible fiscal management and some success in what they're doing. And I would place you in that category beyond any doubt. And which leads me to the conclusion that when you come to us and say, this is what we need as agency professionals and as industry professionals,
in order to even do a better job, you built a great deal of trust and would allow me to want to defer to you in some respects, which is one of the reasons I keep calling it a fee increase. It's really just a ratification of a continued fee amount, but which is what places in me a great deal of trust to give you the deference to do the job you say you need to do.
Thank you very much for that nice summary. I'm going to now exercise the prerogative of the chair and summarize where I think we are. We have had, I think, an adequate discussion here to build a record in response to our requests about your claims and the internal substitution of folks in different divisions within your shop. We have worked on the performance measures and I think have an agreed-upon by consensus plan for how we're going to make adjustments to some of the performance measures with the assistance of the professional staff, and we're prepared then to pass those forward. Out of respect for Representative Krupp and his concerns, even though I have a sense of the committee, we are going to defer a vote on the fee ratification simply to make sure that you have the opportunity to have all the information that you need prior to us going on the record with a recorded vote. I'm going to suggest that we set this budget aside, come back in 2 or 3 weeks, do the fee bill and the budget bill together, have the opportunity to explore the additional information that you have solicited, and unless there is objection from the committee, that's how we will proceed today. And I would entertain any comments from the committee and then closing comments from Mr. Smith in anticipation of adjournment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that's very fair, and I appreciate the deference.
I agree. I think it is fair that we take a look at that so we all feel good about it.
Okay. Mr. Smith, any closing comments for the good of the order?
Well, Madam Chair and committee members, thank you very much for the kind words and the thoughtful analysis of our fiscal situation, and we appreciate the opportunity to appear before you.
Thank you very much. With that, I am going to close the public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 5012, the budget bill, and House Bill 5013, the fee bill. And unless there is objection, I am going to declare us adjourned until tomorrow at 8:30.